Now the man is gone and the mourning has started. Wailing is coming where murmuring and complaints used to be. Mourning has started and weeping. Women and children are weeping. Grown men are crying like babies because Moses, God's man, was dead. To lose something of the magnitude of a Moses should make you cry, because they are such a rare commodity. It is so hard to find a Moses that you can't just run through the crowd and say, okay, I'll make you Moses. No, you can't make anybody be somebody, save God make them be somebody. Moses was so unique and so special and so powerful that even God said, other prophets have I spoke to through dreams and visions, but of my servant Moses will I speak to face to face. Moses was dead, and it seemed as if the future was aborted. It seemed as if the conversation was over. It seemed as if God had put a period, because he spoke to Moses face to face. And if Moses was dead, the conversation is now over. And oh, if we don't hear from God, what will we do? Because Moses brought us the word of the Lord. Moses taught us the ways of the Lord. Moses gave us the directions of the Lord. And Moses was dead, and the people were left with mourning. The weeping was overwhelming. The trauma was so strong, it was overwhelming. The women were wailing in the middle of the night. The children were weeping. Everything has now stopped at the bottom of the mountain. Isn't it funny that at the bottom of the mountain they mourn, when there was a time that they danced naked around a calf at the bottom of another mountain? But now the dancing has turned into mourning, and the people have lapsed into weeping because the man was dead. And perhaps so are we. Perhaps we will go no further. Perhaps we will not make the journey. Perhaps we will not go on. Because the secret of mourning is this: whenever people are weeping, always remember, they think they are weeping for who they lost, but in reality, they are weeping for themselves. There's a part of mourning that is laced with self-pity. Why could you do this to me? Why did you take her away from me? Why did you let this happen to me? Mourning always is laced with self-pity. It has a tinge of selfishness. And if you want to pull it out by the root, you have to recognize that part of our weeping is for ourselves and not for who we lost. Because in many, many cases, who we lost is through with suffering and agony and pain. And we wanted them to stay with us, even if it hurt them, and then they left us, and we are mourning. And so the children of Israel, who were known for their dancing and their pageantry and the way they orchestrated praise and worship, have ceased to worship. The children of Israel, who for generations were such worshipers that even the Babylonians asked them, sing unto us the song of the Lord, because Israel was known for how they danced. I wish I had some Hebrew music with me. Oh, there was something different about how the Hebrews danced before God. If you can dance in the desert, you can dance anywhere. The Hebrews danced in the desert up underneath a hot sun with sand in between their toes, and still they dance. Like Fiddler on the Roof, they dance. They dance in their culture and in their tradition. They dance in their faith and after their order, but the dancing has turned into mourning. And they've hung their harps again in the willow trees, and they have wept because Moses is dead. And they are busy mourning. Are you mourning? Are you mourning over someone you lost, or something you lost, or some job you lost, or some plan you lost that has gone awry just when you were almost there? I want to be transparent and admit to you that I understand that feeling well. It seems that just when I'm almost there, all hell breaks loose and I worry, have I lost the mission? Because mourning will make you think you lost the mission. See, now if you'll notice my progression, I started out talking about the man. Number two, I started talking about the mourning. Number three, I'm talking about the mission. Because they were mourning because they thought that the man and the mission were the same thing. That if you lose the man, you lost the mission. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. If you lose the man, you lost the mission. They thought that the man was the mission, but there's always a difference between the man and the mission. They thought that when God stopped talking to Moses, God had stopped talking. But they were wrong. They put a period where God put a comma. They ended where God just took another breath. Because God understood it was not just about being the man. It was about fortifying the mission. You cannot stop us by killing a man. You can make us cry. You can make us weep. You can make us mourn. You can make us holler. You can make us sing sad songs. But you cannot stop a mission by killing a man. Oh, it didn't work with Gandhi. It didn't work with Dr. King. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying? And it won't work now. It never did work. It didn't work with Moses. And it won't work today. Listen. Killing a man never stops a mission. God merely turned his head from talking to Moses and without a beat turned to his servant Joshua and said, now Moses, my servant is dead. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. God didn't go into mourning. He didn't go into depression. He didn't go into distress. He didn't panic. He didn't get disrupted. He didn't say, oh, my mission is aborted. I've lost my main man. I've lost my CEO. I'm going to have to file bankruptcy. God didn't say to himself, I can't get this thing done without Moses. As gifted as Moses was, still God said, as I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. He's talking to Joshua. And now Joshua has to re-understand himself because he has always known himself to be Moses' sergeant. And now with the tan of God's head, he has gone from being Moses' sergeant to being the general. And Joshua has to re-understand himself. So we are dealing with transition in this moment. The transition of the children of Israel who are not used to seeing Joshua as the man. We're dealing with the transition of God who is not used to talking to Joshua like he was the man. And we're dealing with the transition of Joshua who is not used to being understood as the man. And the opening conversation that God now makes with Joshua says, as I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. And God speaks it to him at a time of stepping into the unknown. Oh my God, I wish I had time. The fear of stepping into the unknown. It's not like God said, I'm going to be with you and you're going to continue in the wilderness with which you are familiar. No, God says, I'm going to be with you as you step into a new place in a new role to do a new thing. But as I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. Now to the text. It is at this point that Moses, that Noah, that Joshua comes down to the Jordan River and finds an abnormally swelling Jordan. Historically, the Jordan was not that deep. Normally, the Jordan was really a stream with which people would pass over quite easily. But at a certain time or season, when the waters condensed and there was a great deal of water flowing down from the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan would overflood its banks and it would reach a point of tempestuousness that it was difficult to cross. Had they got there sooner, they could have walked across and just got their feet damp and made it over to the promised land. I've been to the Jordan myself. I've seen it myself. It's not that wide. It's not that deep. But if you come at the wrong season, what was easy has now become difficult because now I'm in a season of storm and attack. I don't know about you, but we're in a season right now that what was easy has now become difficult. It used to be easy to take your girlfriend out to lunch. It used to be easy to plan your meal and your dinner. It used to be easy to go to the boardroom and have a meeting. It used to be easy to get in your car and go to the church. But now, in this season, the waters have overswollen the banks of the Jordan, and we're not sure where the edges are. Have you ever lived a life where you weren't sure? I feel like preaching this morning. Have you ever lived in an environment where you weren't sure where the rules were? Where are the boundaries? Where does it stop? I don't know how deep it is. I don't know how long it is. I don't know how long I'd have to wait before it got back down to normal again. And I don't have time to wait for things to get better to go forward. I don't have time for them to change the policy for me to go forward. I don't have time for them to complete justice for me to go forward. I don't have time for them to pass legislation for me to go forward. I don't have time for them to have a political debate for me to go forward. I don't have time for the economy to come back for me to go forward. I don't have time for the stock market to come up before I go forward. I don't have time to wait on them to rebuild buildings for me to get a job. I don't have time. So now I've got to cross the swelling banks of the Jordan River. Now Joshua, who is a rookie in this role, has to go down to the Jordan River with the people behind him still sniffling for somebody else. It's like marrying somebody who's still in love with somebody. Oh, y'all don't hear me. See, I want you to see this text. If you don't feel this text, you'll read over this text and you'll say, I had it in Sunday school. Yeah, you had it, but you didn't hear it. You didn't feel what it's like to lead a people who don't want you. You didn't feel what it's like to follow behind somebody you're not sure of. How do we know that God is going to be with him like he was with Moses? All in the backdrop of his ears, in the rearview mirror of his car, he could hear them murmuring about the stories of Moses. Because if you really want to be great, die. Yeah. People are always considered greater in their death than they were appreciated in their life. So if Moses was that great in his life, can you imagine the stories they were telling their children? There was a time we was with Moses and we were backed up in a corner and shoved to the wall. And Moses went up on the mountaintop and got us the victory simply by raising his hands. He didn't have to lift a sword. He didn't have to get a shield. He raised his hands and the Amalekites collapsed up under the glory. They were telling the stories of Moses, but they were following Joshua. I don't know who I'm preaching to today, but you're having to deal with people who are telling the stories of Moses, and yet they are following Joshua. I look with amazement as a collision of generations occurred between the civil rights leaders and Black Lives Matter. The civil rights leaders came up in my generation. They were the Moses of our generation. They fought back the enemy. They turned dogs loose on us and turned water hoses on our generation. They attacked us and still they marched on. They carried charred bodies of dead black girls out of church and still we fought back. We were the Moses generation. Sit-in strikes at Woolworths. I'm not going in another colored bathroom. I'm not not going to drink from another colored water fountain. I'm not going to go to another segregated school and give me my right to vote back. Ah, but Moses has now slid over into Black Lives Matter. And Black Lives Matter has become the Joshua of a sociological understanding of how our community understands themselves. And we're standing here having the benefit, on one hand, of seeing Black Lives Matter erupt into a worldwide revolution. No longer can you hinge it in with a grammatical argument, all lives matter. You can't argue about semantics when the whole world, black and white, is holding up signs saying Black Lives Matter. Now you sound a little bit stupid to shut down Joshua with semantics. Of course all lives matter. That's not the question. And you can't get an A if you give the wrong answer to the right question. There is no question that white lives matter. The question is, do black lives matter? So if you want to get the answer right on the quiz, you got to check the right block. One truth does not cancel out the other. Saying Black Lives Matter does not cancel out that all lives matter. But we are used to stopping people with technicalities rather than to confront the underlying issue. Oh, I'm going to lose some viewers this morning. I can feel it right now. I'm going to lose some viewers. And all of a sudden I looked at, and Al Sharpton is up talking, and he reminds us of Moses, the old generation, the old guard, those that were there. Jesse Jackson is sitting in the crowd, ankle swollen and getting up in years. And the black community is trying to understand itself because we are stuck between Moses and Joshua. Joshua is radical and Joshua is different. And Joshua is revolutionary. But Joshua doesn't realize that Moses wasn't always old. That in our day, Dr. King wasn't 40 when he was marching. Youth always gives way to age. And you only have a small window to do what you're going to do before you become obsolete. And now Joshua is leading a multi-generational group of people into a promised land while they murmur for Moses. If Dr. King was here today, you need to preach more black liberation theology. Cone said it ought to be this way. The church ought to be doing that way. You ought to pick it this way. And so you're seeing the collision of Moses and Joshua. And against the backdrop of the confusion of a people coming into the adolescence of identity, trying to figure themselves out, Joshua must move forward. Because after all, this is not about a man. This is about a mission. It is a mission. I saw one man out there, and I wouldn't have carried my child out there because it's dangerous, but he had his child out there on his shoulders. I understood why, because you want your children to remember. This is what it was like when we crossed. Yeah. It's a mission. This is a time for you to tell your children your family stories and tell them who they are and where they came from and what really happened. This is not a time for you to relegate the education of your children to the public school system because they have a tendency to get amnesia and leave chunks of the story out. And so Joshua now comes down to the Jordan River. And the people are uncertain. And he is uncertain. And to God, he is unproven. and he comes down to the Jordan River. And all he has to fight with is what God promised him. And I was with Moses. So shall I be with you.